Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors winning the NBA championship for the third time in the last 4 years. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Ray, the Warriors are the NBA champions for the third time in the last 4 years, a sweep of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I didn't see that coming. I thought it would take seven is what I was thinking. You were thinking five, and it really could have been five if the Cavaliers had won game one like they really should have. But the Warriors took care of business, and that's what you wanted to see them do in game four, especially in the second half. I mean, the Cavs were sticking with them there in the first half, but once it got to the third quarter and Steph Curry hitting just a flurry of shots, and he finishes with 37 points, and Kevin Durant, another big game with the triple-double, and he gets the MVP. So just a wonderful season and a great way to finish it off.
Really was. I mean, it's the capper on what Steve Kerr called the toughest road for them to the championship. But it sure didn't look tough at the end, did it? As they swept him and blew him out of their own building. And the Q is back to being quiet. It's one of the loudest buildings in the NBA. Some of the sound piped in, but it was very quiet at the end, except for the Warrior fans cheering. And the Cavaliers fans booing Adam Silver. It's all a part of it. Three titles in 4 years, and we can start talking about them now, moving up in the pantheon of great NBA teams ever. I mean, you look at the Lakers in the 80s, the Celtics in the 60s and the 80s, the Bulls in the 90s, the Spurs in this century. The Warriors are moving up into that group slowly but surely, and they could tack on a couple more titles at least before it's over.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great group. They are pretty amazing, and especially now that they have Kevin Durant. And by the way, as far as the MVP is concerned, seemed like to me it might have been a toss-up because Durant had two great games. I mean, you know, this game was still good with the triple-double, but Steph Curry also had two outstanding games. He had 37 points in this game with seven threes made. So I thought Curry was going to be close to getting it, but Durant gets back-to-back MVPs.
Well, I think if it was a horse race, you know, coming around the back stretch and into the home stretch, Curry closed the gap, and it might have been neck and neck at the end, but not a shock that Kevin Durant got it. You can't vote for both players, but wouldn't have surprised me if it ended up being co-MVPs because they both did tremendous things in this series. But I think you look at Durant, he laid down three games in a row. The game two, people forget just how incredible he was at both ends of the floor in that game and how efficient he was offensively. And then he just exploded in game three. That was the most impressive, I think, performance out of any player outside of LeBron James in game one. And then, game four, he comes up with a very solid effort. And Steph bounces back from a poor shooting performance. By the way, Steph did some other things well in game three. I think he would mark it up as an awful game because he didn't shoot well till the very end. But he bounced back nicely tonight. It was a big reason that they closed this one out. But, again, not a shock that KD gets it. And, I think for him, that pretty much rounds out the trophy case. It would be great to see Steph get a Finals MVP to enhance the hardware. And I thought maybe if he came back and rolled out a 40 or a 44 tonight, something like that, he might get it. But that was not the case.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Well, they really needed all of their stars to step up at one time or another. I mean, really, when you think about it, they could have been eliminated by the Rockets, of course. I mean, the Rockets had the 3-2 lead, and the Warriors were able to come back from that, and they needed everybody that they could have. I mean, they needed Steph to step up, come back from the knee injury that he had. Andre Iguodala helping out a little bit there in the finals. You know, he was out for a while. But when they needed Kevin Durant to step up, whether it be the postseason or even in the regular season when Steph was out, he did. So, you know, you can understand there are a lot of different MVPs on this team, whether it be during the regular season or in the playoffs. So many different contributors, you know, especially those four All-Stars.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with this defending the Warriors. If one guy's off, there's Kevin Durant to get going. If Durant is off, then Steph Curry, Klay Thompson pick up the slack. Most nights it's just impossible to really defend this team. You might get them one night, but over a series it's really, really hard. Houston came close. There are some injuries that influenced that. Having Iguodala back was nice, but they didn't really need him to win this series. I thought, he played a nice role, especially in game three when he came back and, you know, played a little bit in game three and four. But I think they would have done this even without him. But, you look at that three-headed monster, that scoring threat. Really, the great NBA teams, a lot of the great NBA teams will have two great threats. The really good ones will have three. And the really special teams will figure out a way to make those guys with a scorer's mentality work together. And that's what the Warriors have done. These guys park their egos, and that doesn't happen a lot in the NBA. And I go back to, as a kid watching the Lakers, and Wilt Chamberlain came on board, and the joke was they were going to need three basketballs for Wilt, Jerry, and Elgin Baylor. Well, they had good teams. You know, they got to the finals. They just didn't quite get over the line. In fact, they didn't win with Wilt until Elgin Baylor had to retire because of a knee injury. And then they became a little bit more of a complete team. Not knock on Elgin or anything like that. It was just, how do they mix together? I wouldn't call Jerry West a selfish player at all. It's just it takes a special group whose talents on the floor complement each other as well as their egos.
You know, I just couldn't doubt LeBron James and the power of LeBron James just to be able to get into the finals. It really was a great accomplishment for him to get into the finals. There's no doubt. I don't know if that's his greatest accomplishment, but it was pretty amazing. And he had the 151-point game. But other than that, I mean, they sort of held him in check. And he revealed after game four that he was playing with a hand that might have been broken. I don't know what the diagnosis was, but I guess he was upset after that game one loss, and he punched a board, I think a blackboard. So that definitely influenced the series, and it's hard for LeBron because he just didn't have the firepower that the Warriors have.
I don't know what was going on there. I mean, we didn't hear about that until after tonight.
I know.
I didn't see the wrap on his hand until after tonight. I guess if you're going to play, I guess you don't have to report it to the NBA. You don't tell the opponent, you know, what's going on. And he didn't shoot as well from distance after game one. So maybe that's what happened. But I didn't hear. When was the diagnosis made of basically a broken hand?
Yeah.
I'd like to find out. What is that? What does basically a broken hand mean? It either is or it isn't.
Right.
I'd like to find out exactly what was going on there. He's still a pretty effective player. Game one, he was unbelievable. He probably would have needed to roll out another game like that for them to win. It was going to be very hard to do so. That was such an epic effort by LeBron. So I don't know if that's really what happened here. And you talked about game one being taken away from them. Well, you know, maybe he hurt his hand, strangling JR while he was at it. Who the heck knows what was going on there post-game? It sounds like excuse-making. you know, I want to give LeBron all the credit in the world for being the great player that he is and taking basically a church league team to the finals. They also kind of chased off Kyrie. They would have had a real puncher's chance if Kyrie were still around. Of course, he got hurt this year, so who knows what would have happened. And I respect his ability to the utmost. But, you know, it seems like you get a team that you want around you, and it's nowhere near good enough to compete with the Warriors. So, you know, how much of that is your fault because you're the man in Cleveland, and how much is that circumstances beyond your control? I don't know about that. I mean, it's a great accomplishment getting the finals no matter what, as many years as he's done it. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But the East competition is relatively weak, and they had some injuries that influenced that this year. The best two teams faced off in the Western Conference Finals, and maybe they got to reconfigure the playoffs to make sure you go 1 through 16 seeds, and the top two teams have the best chance of making it to the finals. And then, but that's not going to happen as long as LeBron is around, because you know they want to keep that narrative. And if I'm him, whether it's Cleveland or somewhere else, I stay in the East. But if we're going to talk about LeBron's hand, whether it was broken or not, and, you know, I'm not a doctor, and I didn't stay at Holiday Inn Express last night, so I don't really know what's happening there, and I don't know what his diagnosis means. But let's talk about Klay Thompson. Let's talk about, if we're going to talk about people playing hurt, let's talk about Klay Thompson. And David West said it post-game. I mean, his ankle was really bleeped up. This was something that would have kept him out for quite a while during the regular season. I don't know how he, A, played on it, and B, played as effectively as he did. That was something that needs to get more notice. Number one, Klay's accomplishments and his contributions all through the postseason, Game 6 against Houston in particular, but just the fact that he was able to get back on the court and be a threat in these finals. This guy is incredible. Physically, he's incredible. He's a great conditioned athlete. It's like Steve Kerr said, he's a machine. Well, you know, even machines break down, and it looked like he was going to. That was the key moment in Game 1, we thought. And the fact that he was able to come back and play and be a contributor, that should not go unnoticed.
Yeah, that was nothing short of amazing, because when everybody saw that, you thought he was done. And for him to come back and play and play pretty well, you know, there are times where you wondered if he had the same jumping ability, but I really couldn't tell that he was hurt the way he played. You're right. And I think one of the things that really kind of got to me, Ray, was with about 7 or 8 minutes to go in the game, you knew that it was going the Warriors' way. They're going to win the title. And I understand that ABC/ESPN has to start talking about LeBron at some point, but yep. I just thought the timing was wrong. I think that was sort of for afterwards, maybe on SportsCenter or whatever, whenever you want to debate it. It seemed like you should have been just honoring the Warriors for what they've accomplished. They're winning 3 out of 4, and LeBron is kind of a little sidebar. Instead, it was treated just the opposite way. It was all about LeBron first, and oh yeah, by the way, the Warriors won the title. That's kind of how I felt about it. I don't know about you.
Well, yeah, probably because it was anticlimactic, not a shock that the Warriors closed it out and did so in dominating fashion, and LeBron is the king of the league.
Yeah.
So he's always going to get that kind of treatment. You know, he's always going to be the center of attention, and I think that's something he's used to and he tries to foster. But, you know, it's definitely a storyline, without a doubt. It's a storyline at the end of this series. You know, where does he go from here? Does he go to Philly? Does he stay in Cleveland? You know, does he go back to Miami? No, that's not going to happen. But that's going to be the topic. That's going to be topic 1A and 1B and 1C throughout the summertime. And that's one thing that the NBA has done very well the last few years. Their off seasons have been on fire. You know, we talk about the NFL, you know, dominating the headlines of the off season. The NBA is doing a great job of that. And of course, a couple of years ago, it was what was going to happen with Kevin Durant, and he makes his announcement. And then it was how are the Warriors going to fill out the bench after winning the title and trying to keep Durant there. Well, now Durant says he's coming back. Right? He just announced that you know he's expecting to play again before the next year, and why the heck not? So that takes away that storyline. So it's all attention on LeBron now.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
When you look at this season, how do you compare it to the other ones, going to the NBA Finals now for a fourth straight year? Because, you know, it's really interesting when you think about winning 73 games a couple of seasons ago and then losing in the NBA Finals. It just seemed like that team was so dominating. There was no way they were going to lose, and then they lose in seven games to the Cavs. Whereas this year, this team seemed a little more vulnerable. You know, they didn't win as many games. They had times this year where there were injuries, but also times where they seemed to lack focus. You just wondered, okay, does that matter? Can they flip the switch? And they pretty much did in the postseason, but still, they were on the verge of being eliminated by the Rockets, who were the number one seed in the West. So, you know, this is quite an accomplishment just thinking about how this season went, because it was hard to stay focused. It was kind of it seemed like a really long season for the Warriors.
It was actually longer in terms of time, because they had to go to China, and then they started the regular season earlier this year. They cut down the number of preseason games, and so it was a shorter offseason for them. By the way, sweeping the Cavaliers, that ensures it's a little longer offseason this summer, so good job there. it was a long year. And they've got a lot of mileage on them now all these extra games they've played, pretty much a full NBA season in the postseason the last 4 years. So I think the emphasis now is on pacing themselves as opposed to pedal to the metal a couple of years ago. But, you know, every season takes on its own personality, right? And Steve Kerr tried to get these guys to focus at times this year, and it wasn't happening. But they know how good they are. Little knowledge is a dangerous thing. I said it in October. And they had some lapses this year. But I saw it with the Bulls. Steve Kerr mentioned that when he was playing with the Bulls. They had, you know, once they were going deep into their championship run, I mean, it wasn't that they were taking it for granted, but you pace yourself a little more and you learn how to navigate your way through a season. I saw it with the Lakers, too, in the 80s and the Celtics. And, of course, injuries played a part of that as well. So what you have to do in order to keep these dynasties going is make sure you inject some new blood, and that includes guys you draft and veterans you bring in. The Warriors have done a good job of that. These guys know the deal. I mean, as long as they're ready in the postseason, hell, they gave up a number one seed this year. And in the end, it didn't really matter. They had to go win a game seven on the road. They did it, and they played very well at the end, coming back in the third quarter, as they often do. And just a real quick aside about the Rockets series, and you're going to say it again, that was the series they needed Iguodala. If he was there, they probably wouldn't have blown game four in the fourth quarter, and they probably would have won that series in six games. People are always talking about Chris Paul's injury. I think Iguodala's was just as significant for the Warriors, especially on the defensive end and cutting down on the turnovers on the offensive end. There was a time where they looked disjointed and lost in that series, and Houston was their best challenger. There's no doubt about that.
Back with more Dubs OT right after this.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cow Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Well, they definitely have to keep Iguodala, you know, healthy throughout a season, you know, keep him well rested. Same thing with Livingston. I'm not sure about the future of David West, but some of these younger players that got playing time, like Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney, I think they really proved a lot. And I think Patrick McCaw is going to be given an opportunity next year, being that he is healthy after that scary injury. So as far as the future of this bench, I think it's pretty bright. I'm not sure how much is left in the tank for Iguodala and Livingston, but it seems like Steve Kerr has the formula to have them get to the postseason and still have enough to be able to give this team meaningful minutes.
Well, Livingston sure has something left in the tank. He played great in these finals, and he made his first 10 shots and shot a very high percentage. He's got 2 years left on his deal, so we'll see if he plays that out with the Warriors, and Iguodala has two more left on his deal. And they're going to handle him with kid gloves as he becomes a 34, 35-year-old player. He's going to have injuries. They know that. And that's where you want some depth, the strength in numbers, and get the younger players mixed in there. And the nice thing now is these younger players are experienced, and they've played at the very highest level with the very highest stakes. And for the most part, have come through pretty well. Jordan Bell, for example. Patrick McCaw did it last year. That's the nice thing that you have in your back pocket, these guys who have a positive memory bank of playing in high-pressure situations. Damian Jones in the mix next year. I think the bench is going to be pretty good. They're probably going to go out and get one big-name veteran player, a fairly big name, a player of the ilk of Trevor Ariza, for example. His name's been kicked around a little bit. That's, not a cinch that's going to happen, but, there's some complicating factors, but that's the kind of player they could be looking for, and it's the kind of player they attract. Don't think for a minute that a lot of these veteran players out there want to be a part of this, because this is a pretty special group. I think it's probably the end for David West and Zaza Pachulia, and you thank them for their great contributions. West was everything that I hoped he would be and more, especially during the regular season this year. There was a time where he was playing really, really well, kind of faded out at the end, but he definitely deserves that second ring. And now it's time to bring in these younger players. And as the key players on the Warriors get into their 30s, Steph Curry, for example, Draymond Green getting up to 28, Durant 29, but having played a lot of games, the bench is going to become more important. There's no doubt about it. And that's going to be an emphasis, I think, for Steve Kerr and his coaching staff next year to manage those minutes and maybe ramp down a little bit in the coming years. As, say, a guy like Steph Curry gets to his 32-year-old and 33-year-old season, to make sure he's still fresh. They do all that. They got a couple more rings in their future, I think.
I think so, too. I mean, one of the main reasons I think so is that this team is so unselfish. It's so different than other teams that have superstar players on it. I mean, it really starts with Steph and Clay and how they are unselfish. They're not looking for the spotlight, really. I mean, Steph will put up big numbers and play to the crowd a little bit, but he's certainly willing to give up any kind of accolades for Kevin Durant to join the team and, put up his numbers. And nobody seems to be worried about that. These guys are really focused on winning titles, and I don't see that changing.
I've not heard any bit of jealousy. And, this locker room was so solid, they were able to absorb Swaggy P. Okay?
Right.
That was start of the year. Oh, this guy in the mix? Well, the thought was, this guy wasn't going to act out or be too much of a fool, at least on the Swaggy P scale, with this bunch. And you didn't hear anything all year, really, about him doing anything stupid, off the basketball court anyway. He was a contributor. There's no doubt about it. He was a contributor with some big games this year, not consistent. I like Quinn Cook and the way he was playing at the end of the year as opposed to Nick Young coming off the bench. But, you can't deny that kind of firepower when you don't have a whole lot of guys who can shoot threes coming off the bench. So he was a part of it. But then you've got the older veteran players who kind of can be policemen like David West, and it's important to have those guys around. And then, it all revolves around the Hamptons Five. And the fact that those guys don't have huge egos, at least in a basketball sense, that's what makes it special. And it's like we were talking about earlier. You get teams with superstars on them, and sometimes they don't mix. You could say OKC was a little bit disjointed this year. So it doesn't always happen that way. When it does, it can be really special, and that's what we're looking at right now. Something really special, and something that, as Elmer Fudd would say, the NBA should be very, very afraid for the next couple of years.
True. At the same time, I think all the Warriors fans should savor it. I mean, I know there's probably a lot of Warriors fans that are now expecting this every year, and with good reason, because like you said, this could happen for years to come. But you savor it when you think back to so many years of bad basketball, you know, just basketball where there's no way they're even going to make the playoffs. And you think about what's happened here in the Bay Area with the Giants winning 3 out of 5 years, winning the World Series, and that fan base being emboldened, and now this fan base, which just has to be, you know, so confident in the way they're putting this team together, and the way Bob Myers will continue to put together a great roster. And with Steve Kerr running the ship there, I mean, you look forward to it, but I think you got to savor it as much as possible too.
Well, they will. And I think that the longtime fans especially do. When you get back to the days of Bobby Sura and Zarko Tabarkapa, I think I said that right, and on and on. And then, you know, they had that little glimpse with the We Believe for a couple of rounds, and that was incredible. And then some down years, and here comes Steph Curry, here comes Draymond Green, here comes Klay Thompson, David Lee, Andre Iguodala. They started putting together a team, and that's when I was really most closely associated with them. First of all, Mark Jackson was there for a couple of years. Then Steve Kerr takes over, and they take it up to the next level, and then they bring in Kevin Durant. It really is an incredible metamorphosis with this team. That, you know, 5 or 7 years ago, I don't know if anybody in the NBA saw that coming.
Yeah.
The fact that they've been able to put it together like this, I think, was stunned some people. I think even Steve Kerr said it. That first championship maybe was a little ahead of schedule. Maybe they weren't counting on that his first year, but they got it done. And they thought maybe the second year was the year that they were going to win it. And it kind of got reversed. I remember walking out of the queue that night in Cleveland after they won the first championship in this run, and walking downtown Cleveland back to the hotel, 4 a.m, still some people on the streets, and the Warriors getting back to their hotel for one of, I don't know, 7 after parties. I mean, I don't know if any of those guys slept that night. And, you know, the core was still there, but how it's such a different group now in just 2 or 3 seasons, and they're able to keep it going. But that first one's always going to be so special. And I was thinking that night, and I was talking to our on-site engineer there in Cleveland, and I said, yeah, well, maybe we'll see you next year. And I thought that was a big maybe, but, you know, it was again and again and again. So I don't know. I don't see the end in sight. Not right now.
And I think Steve Kerr is the perfect guy to take them through this time of dominance, because he understands it. Being with the Bulls, he understands how complacency can set in, and he just he tries his best to not allow that to happen, to keep focus. You know, sometimes it's just not going to work. During the regular season, there are going to be times where the team is just going to lose focus, and he's not going to be happy about it. I remember near the end of the regular season, remember that game against Utah where he was so despondent about how they couldn't get a rebound, they couldn't box out, you know, because it's a long season. It's hard to keep him focused all the way through, but he gets it because he's been there before.
Yeah, they're just nights you're fried, you know, and it was evident on the court. You saw that a little bit more this year. And again, look how many games they have played in the last 4 seasons. Like over 400, right? Or right around 400.
Yeah.
That count. So, you know, that's a lot more than many other NBA teams. There are a lot of teams out there that have played 328. You know, so that's, like I said, it's almost a full season more that they have played. And after a while, those games in late April or early April, late in the season, they just don't mean that much. And you know they don't mean that much. And so it's hard to lie to yourself at that point and try to say, oh, I'm going to give my best effort tonight. I mean, you give it a certain level, but it's not the level you're accustomed to, and it's not the level your opponent's at. So you see that from time to time. But we're probably going to see it again next year. And we may have the same teeth gnashing and clutching of pearls about the Warriors stumbling out of the gate or having some blowout losses on the road. And you know, these guys are just kind of roll their eyes. They're going to say, well, you know what? When the time comes, we'll be there. And sure enough, they were there. And, you know, in the end, they win it emphatically.
Well, congratulations to the Warriors winning the title again. Ray, it's been so much fun doing this podcast all year long. I really appreciate all of your efforts for it. It's been amazing, really, to be able to go through a season like this and see it come to fruition with a championship. And we've gotten to know each other really well throughout the year. And now we're going to continue to do our Giants podcast, the Inside China Basin podcast. So that continues on. But this was certainly outstanding. And again, it was just wonderful to have you on here every week.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. I love talking hoops with you, and especially this team. And, you know, again, just the group of people they are. And I've felt this way for several years. Good people in the front office, too. Good people in this organization, and so happy for them after the first title, and now 3 and 4 years, it's something special. Good things come to those who wait. So I'm told, and it certainly is the case for the Warriors. So congratulations to everybody in the Warriors organization, and can't wait for China Clay sometime this summer or fall once again. they're going to whoop it up, and they deserve it.
All right, Ray, we'll talk to you again next week with the Giants podcast. But again, congratulations to the Warriors winning the title.
Sounds good, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com.